Welcome to the Tiny Plastic People podcast, the podcast about tiny plastic people. We paint with them, we play with them, we paint with them. It's going to be messy. And we tell you all about Adepticon, but also about other things. My name is Tom. I go by Dines. It's a bit easier. With me today is also Tom.
Hello. You can find me at in various places as the Swordfish.
How would you want to go in this point? Be Tom?
Yes. Let's
just be Tom. All right, cool. And we have Alistair.
Hello.
This is a podcast recorded on a Monday evening, fresh days later after the Adepticon. So we will talk about that. We can't avoid it. It's the giant transforming robot in the room. But I guess I better catch up. Alistair, what have you been doing recently? What's your hobby?
My hobby, well, very recently has been eaten up entirely by Elden Ring, as I suspect many people's hobby has been. But before Elden Ring came out, I managed to batch paint 28 Tau drones, which was all of the Tau drones I had, which has been pretty good.
It's quite a lot of drones.
And I'm almost, yeah, it is a lot. And probably not quite enough, but still, it's a start. And also I'm painting some Slaan gores.
Why?
Well,
not to be like too topical, but
well, to tell the truth, it was because they were on sale because no one had bought any.
Yeah.
Right. So I saw that's these poor tragic goats on the shelf at my friendly local
weird,
game store.
Weird, sexy crab handed goats.
Look, even weird, sexy crab hand goats need love.
Yeah, they do. They do. They really do on like multiple levels.
Well, yeah. So I mean, I got them because they're cheap, and I think they look really cool, which is reason enough. But maybe in my heart of hearts, I hope that they didn't sell so hard that next time there's a book for either goats or for the Sinesh, they're going to be obscenely pushed in the other direction, and then they'll be really good.
They're going to be broken to like clear up all the like backroom stock
that people have got. Get into the stratosphere.
Yeah,
I can only imagine that there's like 10,000 boxes of Slaan gore sitting in a Games Workshop warehouse because none of them sold.
I could bury them in the desert like the ET game.
No.
maybe they're just like prepping for the somebody's played this. Maybe the top rules writers played it because they know in the next edition they're going to be good and they want all of them to themselves. You'll be able to run a pure Slaan gore army.
Ben Johnson's sitting on a pile of 100 boxes just waiting to flog them for slightly less than RRP.
Exactly. I think we've uncovered something deep, but we should stop digging, otherwise we're going to wind up Slaaneshed.
Yeah. Yep.
Don't know what that means, but...
I'm sure yeah, Slaanesh cool. would like that.
Yeah, anyway, that's what I've been up to.
Nice.
So, yeah. How about yourself?
Oh, me? Well, I did a little bit of Eldar. Just a measured amount of Eldar. I finally completed my collection of all except the very rarest Farseers. So I haven't got the Necromunda Farseer, and I haven't got the... This sounds like a stupid thing to say, but I haven't got the unreleased Farseers, which exist. but you can't. They're very hard to get hold of, and as is the Necromunda one. But all of that, I think I've got all the other Farseers and all the other Warlocks that have been made, which is nice. You can't really run them like that, I don't think. Not with the new book. I haven't actually got the new book. I've been going in like a measured pace because I know I'm not going to finish it. All I've got is I've got the Eldritch Omens. I haven't finished painting them. I've got the new Warlocks and I got some Dire Avengers. And I started off okay with the Eldritch Omens. I painted one Ranger, a base coated a few others. I need to get back to them really. But I'm not going to buy any more Eldar till I finish those. Actually, I painted one Dire Avenger. I got the free one in the shop, and I actually really enamored by it. So I think they're really cool models. So I got, even though they're quite old, but they're really cool sculpts actually. So I got another one of those, another box of them. Other than that, I was inspired by one of the reveals to dig out a giant stompy boy and start work on that again. Because I was doing that for a while and then I stopped. I got distracted. But I'm back on it. I guess I'll come back to that later. That's what I've been doing. Not a huge amount, but just plugging away. Try not to let it get ahead of me.
You've resisted the temptation to go really big into new Eldar then?
Oh yeah. Because what are the cool things that I kind of want, which is like maybe a fire prism, maybe a wave serpent, maybe I wouldn't want some guardians at some point. But a lot of them aren't, they're out of stock. Like all the grav tanks went out of stock for a while. And I'm not going to play it that urgently. So I'll just leave it for now. And I'll get them slowly. I really, really like them. So I will. I'm also really holding out for new Aspect Warriors, like new Scorpions.
Yeah.
Can you just imagine? Oh, it'd be incredible. So, and I'm not really a big fan of Banshees that much, but literally all the other Aspect Warriors, except the ones which have been redone. I'd be super into any of them getting redone. So like even Shining Spears, like they're so cool. That would probably be my next purchase. And working out how to do them in an Ulthway colour scheme would be great fun. No idea. Yeah. Because they're like the opposite of the Ulthway colour scheme, right?
Yes. Yeah. I think.
I think it'd be cool.
Black goes with anything, but maybe.
Yeah, I think that's what they say. But
maybe Ulthway black instead of the blue stripes.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking like maybe like inverting and like going like a really deep blue and then like having a white stripe or something.
Yeah.
A bit like, but the Dire Avengers have kind of done that as well, like on really deep blue with them. I don't want to sort of rip them off, but I don't know. Maybe a stark or white or something. It remains to be seen. I'm a few months away of doing that. I really need to finish what my current Eldar, I think, before I do any more. But yeah, that's me. How about you, Tom? What have you been up to?
Most recently, I have been painting Sigismund and Fafnir Ran for the Heresy era Imperial Fists.
Is Fafnir Ran a faff to paint, or is he?
He's a bit of a faff to assemble. There's his shoulder pads have got little bumps on them that are clearly meant to go into the outer pads themselves, but there isn't actually a slot for them to fit into, so you have to like chop them off and fit them on over the top.
Do you think somebody forgot about that when they were doing the design?
Quite possibly, yeah. But he was a nice straightforward one to paint. I think I've got used to my yellow and black now, and when you're doing one model rather than 10 at a time, you can take a little bit more time with the trim.
How are you finding painting all the yellow? Have you got that down now?
Yeah. I've got a scheme that I think works fine for yellow. Start off with a couple of coats of, I can't remember any of the colour names ever. Start off with a couple of coats of the nice yellow base coat.
Avalanche Sunset?
Sounds about right. Recess wash of Seraphim Sepia, and then dry brush of, I think it might be Flash Kit yellow. And that pretty much, and then a highlight of the Shabti Bone, and I think that does the job well enough. It's not one you'd want to be throwing around if you wanted to. Oh no, sorry, Uriel,
yeah,
that guy,
Uriel
yellow rather than Uriel, rather than Flash Kit. And it's not one you'd want to be thrown around if you were trying to go into Golden Demon, but I think it turns out really good, particularly like en masse.
Yeah, they look good. The Sigismund looks really cool as well. He's got such a good pose.
Yes, yeah.
Such a good pose.
With great trepidation, I drilled a couple of big holes into the bottom of his feet so as to magnetize him so I can swap him between a base that matches the rest of my army and his display base.
Nice.
Brave move.
Yeah. So wait, you drilled the holes as wide as the magnets?
Yes, yeah. So the magnets are 1 millimeter, I think. So it wasn't the width.
That's not,
wasn't
that's
too,
not
bad,
too big,
but
that's pretty good.
Was, yeah, I was coming to it just after having ruined Necromunda Orlok by trying to pin his feet to the base and like going straight up through the foot like Home Alone. So I was a little nervous about repeating that trick.
I get that when I paint, when I put the things on my spray painting stick, you have to drill up like the heel, right? So it goes into the shin.
But that nice. That worked out and it's come out good.
They look really cool.
Painted those Orlocks, one of which just has a hole in his foot now. And
it's Necromunda. Who knows what can happen, right?
I assume somewhere in there there's a rule for literally shooting yourself in the foot.
Or an industrial workplace accident or something.
an extremely minor chaos mutation.
Just chaos mutation like that guy from Community dropping cocktail olives through the hole in his hand.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, low-level corruption in Necromunda.
Just if you're a bit gross. A little bit.
Just yucky. A bit, slightly unpleasant. And a bit of an annoyance, more than like something truly corrupting.
You're into Nurgle, but like just for Christmas and the weekends.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't go too hard. Yeah, nice. Okay. So topics bring in this week. Alistair, you mentioned Elden Ring already, but you wanted to bring that back.
Yeah, so, well, of course, like, it is huge and loads of people are playing it. And as a result, a lot of new people are encountering the joy of Dark Souls in a new incarnation. So I was thinking about that and I was thinking, what's the Dark Souls of hobby? Because, you know, everyone's saying, like, oh, this is the Dark Souls of sandwiches or whatever. But to elaborate on that, I want to say something that's got a reputation, like whether that's a deserved reputation or not, of being very difficult or impenetrable to get into, but actually can be like really fun once you learn how it works and get into it.
Just a very quick tangent. What was the Dark Souls of sandwiches in reference to?
Oh, I was just a stupid like reference. I mean, I was
very much hoping to learn what the Dark Souls of sandwiches was.
Yeah, what is...
Please send in your suggestions.
I think we could devote like 30 seconds. What is the Dark Souls of sandwiches? I think something like crisp sandwich. Like, no, you know, that sounds really difficult. Or maybe like a toast sandwich sounds challenging. Why would you eat that? Turns out both pretty good. Crisp sandwiches and toast sandwiches.
I've never thought of either of those as being a challenging thing, to be honest.
Depends what you mean by challenging. If challenging is in, like, why would you eat that?
Psychologically.
Yeah, it's psychic damage sandwich.
the ketchup sandwich.
Oh, God. Oh, this is a cursed topic.
Something just way too big, like a double-sized sub.
Oh,
yeah, or like a sandwich, I suppose.
One of those Scooby-Doo sandwiches.
Yeah.
Or like a Guinness World Record sandwich, right? Where it's like, it's an 18-mile long sandwich, and you're like, well, okay, but it's impractical more than anything else.
I've been playing this sandwich for 30 hours, and I've only just got out of the starting area.
Yeah, and now I have to fight. And I have to fight a big gribbly thing to get onto the next bit.
I'm so tired of BLT. Anything but that.
Yeah, and you've eaten so much you can't roll anymore or anything.
To Bourne. Where were we?
But anyway, actual Dark Souls hobby things. I don't know. Who's got any ideas?
Yeah, well, I guess it's my topic, so I'll start us off.
Yeah.
I was thinking that oil paints, so, I mean, they've gotten a lot more... traction and attention recently, being the last 2 to 3 years, I guess, as YouTubers have started using them and shown people that they're easy to use. But they are actually pretty easy to use. I tried some myself recently for the first time, and it was a lot easier than I expected. And I think that a lot of that came down to getting the right kind of tools. Definitely, you want nice oil paints and a decent thinner. I was previously I tried just white spirits and they were way too harsh. But it really is that easy, and you can blend super easily with it. And it's a great tool.
It doesn't sound that easy.
No, I know.
Because if you're like, it's super easy, all you need is this set of specialized tools.
I mean, they're not that... They're not really that specialized. They're just different from what you currently use. Mm. And I suppose that's what'll make it the Dark Souls... A Dark Soul-ish is the thing, right? It's you need to put in some effort to get... to learn how it works.
And a slightly different
to get your
mindset.
Dodge timings in, I suppose.
Yeah. And I guess it's just a slightly different way of thinking about it, maybe.
Yeah. But it's really... They're quite fun and quite easy. Easier than I expected.
I see oils used pretty much to just dirty things up, though, right? So, like, people put the... just water down some burned umber and throw that on. That was in an old Imperial... What's it called? Imperial Armor Masterclass or something.
Yeah.
And it was like, you just oil it up, right? Because, like, then you use it to make it look like an actual oil leak.
Yeah, that's definitely like a way that it's been used for ages in military modeling, and it's gotten into, and it's been used in Warhammer for quite a while now too. But you can use, so if you watch the YouTuber Marco Frisoni, or Not Just Mecha is his channel, he is certainly not the first person to do it, but you can use oil paints to really get like quite intense colors and blend them super fast. And literally you're sort of painting the oil paints onto a miniature and then actually wiping most of it off, but it still stains the surface and can be blended out onto planes. Terrible for radio trying to explain blending techniques, I suppose, but it's trust me when I say it's easier than it seems. It sounds
ASMR brush the microphone with a paintbrush.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you just it's a different style of painting, right? A different approach to it. Presumably, it all needs like fixing after you've done it. Does it?
Or? Yeah, I mean, so that you'd definitely have to varnish it eventually.
How do you think it comes out compared to like the Citadel method? Let's see, as a base point. Like, is it obviously different?
I think you can get certain kinds of blends quite easily, which is certainly faster than sort of very slow blending or layering, which you do with Citadel. And I want to say that you could get more intense colors more easily. Again, like, there's nothing you couldn't replicate. Probably. The one thing it's a treat for is anything that's got a lot of detail. So for that batch of drones I was speaking about, I just sort of hammered out all of their detailing in burnt umber and black oils and then wiped away the excess, and all the lining was just done. It took me about probably 3 hours for 28 models.
That does sound pretty good.
A temple, but still.
Yeah.
Is that... I wonder if that would be the same for colours, though, if you're going for, like, saturation. If you're, like, you know, if your drones had been, I don't know, lime green or something, would you use oils to do that?
I'm not sure. I plan to experiment and find out.
Very much looking forward to these lime green oil drones.
Yes. If they defeat that boss. Yeah, I mean, okay. That sounds that is interesting. I bought a tube of burned umber about 10 years ago to weather up a basilisk artillery piece, and then just never. I don't think I ever painted it. I think I sold it about 6 months ago.
Of course,
I had it for like 10 years, and just I've never touched that paint.
Of course, it was just umber when you got it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And through, you know, the oven and everything else, just, you know, things just come out, don't they? Oh, that's an interesting idea. What about you, Tommy? Any ideas?
I think it's going to come down to your tastes in what you enjoy doing in the hobby. I think perhaps
The one that I would say is, like, you could probably get, like, tournament gaming in there. This reputation for being incredibly tough hardcore mode, but actually can be quite enjoyable even if that's not how you usually go about it. If you go into it for the right spirit and give it a try and like put the work into it, so to speak. And like, I'm not much of a one for Dark Souls games because putting the work in has never appealed to me on anything, really. but especially not my leisure activities. But that is something that I, particularly with the older games, I've not been to tournament play in a while, but particularly with the older games, I was really enjoying that that level of deeper engagement with the mechanical side of things. And I think that you could I think you could find enjoyment you might not expect from that.
I think that's a very good example.
Yes, yeah, I think that's totally fair.
It can be really daunting, right? The idea of going to tournaments and, you know, being stomped by everybody there who's definitely going to be better than you and be horrible and mean and, like, the jocks at school. Yeah. But it's not like that at all.
Yeah, and I mean, I lost personally against somebody who then very kindly explained he was, his team were the, I think, the GB champions at Age of Sigmar. So it's all up from there, really.
Was that... Where was that?
That was at Brotherhood in early 2020.
I remember that.
So yeah, I took that hit and then was shut out of the season for 2 years.
Well, I was there. I have similar memories because I was there with you. And I'm not so much daunted going into that tournament, but then, you know, we started off, if I remember, we started off against a team who were pretty good, right? And they were... They can't have
been that good. We beat those ones.
Yeah, I know. But I think that was they were at least known, right? They did them,
well,
like,
they might be known to.
Yeah, I think they're known to the in crowd, but which we are not. But they, it was you know, we had a great time getting my ass handed to me by a shitload of by a shitload of Savage Oryx before they are what they are now, and it was just really good. And I wasn't too daunted by it, but that was only because it was a team tournament. Like, the idea of going to a tournament on my own is sort of like, that's still quite daunting. But
yeah, like, they've announced just today the Horus Heresy tournament in July, and that's a game I know pretty well and quite enjoy playing, but it is a bit daunting to get back into a solo event.
Yeah, I actually used to play quite a lot of competitive X-Wing and Netrunner when it was around, both those games have sort of like died out, both locally and everywhere as far as I can tell, although X-Wing still doing quite well elsewhere. But I mean, I did enjoy that. I did enjoy having like a goal and sort of just doing your best, and I don't know, I guess Warhammer does have probably slightly more of a reputation of having, like, oh no, the competitive people are really scary.
Yes.
But, I should probably try harder.
I don't, I'm still, at 40K tournaments are still like, they're still like Dark Souls to me, in that I'm intimidated by them.
There's not a great reputation.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm sure that's probably, you know, unfairly assigned, you know, because I know plenty of people who are 40K and they're all really nice. So I don't really know. I think that may be unfair. But I don't know. For 40K, I actually happen to have less interest. But certainly for Age of Sigmar tournaments, everybody was super nice.
Cool.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. I'm struggling to think of something that's Dark Souls-y. I can think... I wasn't going to actually say blending. But to be honest, Alistair, you've sort of explained that blending is not scary because you can do it with oils and it's super easy. or at least super achievable.
I mean, I think any sufficiently complicated painting technique that's not layering is pretty daunting, especially when you see someone do it without context.
Well, I was just going to say.
I think layering is easy enough to understand because you're just putting down slightly different colors of paint one after another, which, I mean, anyone can put things in a row. But trying to mix two different paints on a model or carefully, like, smoothly change from one to another, that is a big thing. It's hard.
I think the first bit of blending I ever did was about, 15 years ago maybe, and I did I got the Terminator Lord Zoo 4, who no one knows, no one cares about that. He's this World Eater's Lord you can get on Forge World. He's very, very angry. He's just has a big power. He has a cool ass helmet and he's just holding a string of skulls, but I really love that model. And I decided I was gonna, I don't know what the hell I was doing, but I was just saying I was gonna blend is like all his paneling. I did not. I got some of the way through it because the method to do it was about, I don't know. So like the front panel of his, like, so the front panel of his Terminator armor, just that I blended it from black around the edges to a vibrant, like, blood red in the middle, like pure blood red. And that, God, the number of layers on that. Because I did it super thin down and then just applied one after the other. It's getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. It might have been, I don't know, like 50 layers, something like that. Just sort of like water thin layers. But it looks so good. It's the smoothest like layer transition I've ever done on anything in my entire life. Like not even like paint transition, like transition, like going from one place to another. Like I have done no transition in my life has gone as well as the blending on this guy's freaking leg pad. It's, you know, it's mainly by accident because I couldn't replicate it anywhere else on the model. But when it worked really well, it was really nice and it wasn't difficult. It just took freaking ages.
Yeah.
That was all it was. It was like a time investment. But, you know, I would say that sort of thing is quite cheap. I haven't really done it since, but I think it's not too bad. The other thing that might be daunting for people is big conversions. Big kit bashes.
Yeah.
You just do them. I think I think gain a lot by just leaping in and trying it in a Dark Souls fashion, failing and trying it again. I think most things is, I wrote about this in the solitary post I did on Time Plastic People, but you know, you can normally salvage pretty much anything you try, even if it doesn't go quite the way you wanted. Like you buy a piece and, oh, well, that's not quite the right size. But you know what? It's probably fine. It probably is. It's probably fine. You can probably just whack some green stuff around the edge and it's probably all right. And you probably should try it because you'll have something that's cool and unique at the end of it. That's your own story of how you built it. I think everybody should do that all the time for everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I will say I've often wanted to do big conversions and stuff, and well, I do little conversions quite often, but do want to do some big ones too.
I think they are harder, the big ones, but the like I did an auric on a Dracoline a couple of Christmases ago for someone, and that was really good fun. It was like a moderate, medium sized model, right? But that was really good because, you know, there's a little bit of green stuff work, just gap filling, just so that when you look up his bum, it's not just a cave. At least there's some, you know, some filled orc there. That's what I'd recommend. I don't think those things are as daunting as they might be. They're a bit of investment in buying the bits you need, but, you know, the more you try, the more it gets better, and the more you fail, the better you get, just like Dark Souls. Maybe.
Yeah.
Nice.
Good.
Nailed it. Tom.
Oh, my.
What was your topic for the week?
My subject for today. So I, a couple of weeks ago, they were
They were advertising on the Games Workshop website for a new leader of the canon. So the new head writer for, I think it might have been 40K, might have been both games. I don't know. So in charge of everything that ends up in the canon in both game systems. And I stuck my oar in. I put in a very quick application. And because I know we're all good people, so I put in applications for everyone else at Tiny Plastic People.
That's kind of you.
Yeah, and they got back to me and they said, so everybody who applied gets to do it.
Yeah.
But only for 3d6 seconds. So I figure I asked them if we could do our turns while we were recording the podcast, and they said that was fine. So
that's good.
Each of us will get that amount of time to determine what goes into the Warhammer canon.
Oh, jeez. You mean like, okay, so we need to like load up a timer and everything. Okay, I'm going to do
it. I was just going to use the Audacity one.
Oh.
I've got the dice ready.
All right, blimey.
Ooh.
I'm gonna set a timer. I've got Google timer ready. Yeah, who's got some dice? Tom, you have some dice.
I'm all set up.
Who's gonna go first? Alistair.
What, do we each get 3d6 different seconds?
Yes. Yeah.
Ooh. Okay. Even more exciting.
Okay. I think Alistair should go first. You tell me how many seconds.
All right.
And I'll run this timer. You're right. I think your audio cancellation would do an excellent job of removing the fun rattle of the dice.
So dang!
I'll pretend to go.
It looks wow. It looks like Audacity's picking up on it though. That was 8 seconds.
8 seconds. All right, Alistair, you ready? I'll count you in. Okay, it'll be 3, 2, 1, go. Okay, 3, 2, 1, go.
I did Silent People as an insect race to Age of Sigmar, and
No. Just Silent People. Well, you've got Silent People in there. That was it. Are you happy with what you've done?
Look, yeah.
8 seconds to change the world. And what did you bring in? Silent People. They don't even talk.
Yeah. That's the best kind of new faction.
Where do you hope the GW takes this new line in the sand? It's the wrong metaphor, but you know what I mean. This new direction that you've now forged, where are you hoping that they take it?
Well, I just want to see entirely new faction in Age of Sigmar. I think that every just time they've done faction, one so far, they've been cool.
Yeah, that's fair.
New factions make me excited.
Do you think they're going to do that anyway? Do you think, not to be rude, Alistair, but do you think you've wasted that 8 seconds? Do you think that was coming anyway?
No, so I mean, I think we've had enough sort of like hints now that not everything they suggest for Age of Sigmar is not actually going to come out. Like, there are lots of like these little hints and cool things that could exist, or you know, like the Kernothi for Sylvaneth that were the Age of Sig, the Underworld's Warband.
Mm.
We're probably not getting more weird deer people elves.
Sad.
But yeah, sad because they're really cool. But
we got Kragnos.
That's cool. And similarly, we've had these whispers and rumors of silent people. What are they? Are they insects? Who knows? But they're probably not actually going to have models. They're just another cool, weird mystery in the Age of Sigmar, which is a cool thing. I like mysteries, but I also like new models.
Yeah, I think it's fair.
Yeah, I think they were one of the things that everybody was expecting a little bit more from. That's, you know, maybe getting a little overexcited about what it was, but I can definitely see how you want to choose that thing that they've alluded to and go really deep on it.
Yeah,
make sure it's coming. Like, just get it 100% confirmed.
Yeah, I mean, like, well, they gave me the power, so
they did. That was foolish of them in retrospect, because now that's what I think they're legally obligated to do that now. So.
Yeah, I hope they're okay with me rolling the dice and that they wouldn't want to do that themselves. Oh, well.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's kind of
It's
nally.
Weird that we didn't all roll 18s, but, you know, they put their trust in you, Tom, and they were right to. So, you know. Well, okay, that's it. We've confirmed Silent People. Tom, you're going to go next. Roll yourself some dice. Clackety clack, go to the dice.
You're speaking over the actual clacking. That is 13 seconds.
13 seconds. All right, Tom, you ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
I want them to put the bits about the alien languages back in the codices. That was always something I really enjoyed looking at the Eldar glyphs. And I want John Grammaticus's phone number.
No. You want John? We got as far as John. I think. So John is confirmed.
John confirmed for Age of Sigmar.
Yeah. John confirmed for Age of Sigmar and alien languages back in codices.
I like both those suggestions, but I think you got the gist of it anyway. Just you want John, and who doesn't?
It doesn't matter where he's come from. Just John has got to be... Bring back John. Sign the petition now. Change.org. Bring back John to Warhammer. We miss you. I don't know who John is. Wait, there's already quite a few Johns in Warhammer, so you know it could be any of them. But
is that
John Blanche? Just
be... Oh, I suppose so, yes.
Ooh.
That's the only John I thought of, actually.
I mean, he's not in the canon, is he? I mean,
he should be, right? Maybe that's what.
Perhaps that's how they can interpret it.
Yeah. They've got a lot of scope there. All they know is John. And languages. What languages in the codices are you thinking of specifically?
I remembered really enjoying reading the stuff in some of the very old Eldar codices about their language and their language and symbols and symbology.
I was thinking about that. They had a lot of... There used to be a load of info on the runes and stuff, didn't there?
Yes. Yeah. And cool. I think some of that remains around, but I really enjoyed that, so I would put more of that back in.
Yeah, nice.
They also had that for the Tau, I think. In fact, at one point you could download the Tau font to your computer. So it was like, it was the Tau language, air quotes. It was a font that turned it into the Tau symbols. I was about 14 when that happened. And I did not quite understand how fonts worked. So I do remember being on MSN and talking to people in the Tau font, and I did not realize that to them the text was just coming up as normal text. I thought I was being very clever and that they couldn't understand what I was saying.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I think I got away with that. I don't think I said anything too horrifying in that context.
Nuclearly cringe.
Oh, no more so than my usual level of cringe. But I do look I do look back on that time and see it as like dodging a bullet that I did not see coming. Absolutely, you know, a Final Destination level of taking a slight step to the side and not being hit by a truck.
Close. Mm. I remember when the tower announced in White Dwarf, and you had to... It was like a one pager. In the frickin' Tau, what do you call that, like font?
Say yes. Font.
And you had to decode it. I remember doing that on a train to my dad's house. Wow. I got as far as writing, "We are the Tau," which I think is how it started. Wow. Yeah,
that's cool. Shit. Yeah, I mean, it's not only the sci-fi stuff. I remember that the old Chaos books also had like pages of detail on the Black Speech. Mm-hmm. All the Chaos runes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I could do more of that. I could definitely take more of that.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Nice. Does that mean it's me?
Yes. Do you want someone else to time for you?
I can. I mean, I don't mind timing myself. But you can time for me if you wish.
You off. I'll cut you.
I'll cut myself.
Oh, you're doing pretty good. You've got 14 seconds.
14 seconds.
Okay, starting now.
Kill the Emperor, right? Either he fully dies or, like, in a bad way and leaves, like, abandons humanity, or he ascends to, like, full godhood. Either way, that's, like, a proper, like, what's going on? Like, reset. I think it'd be pretty dope.
Done.
Just kill the Emperor. Just kill him. Straightforward. Just do it. Just kill him. Just get him out of the picture.
Yeah. Should I just let you carry on in that vein for a little while?
Yeah, it's fine. Just kill the Emperor. What happens? I don't know. I'll leave that. Luckily, or foolishly to Games Workshop, they only give me 14 seconds. So that's not my responsibility. Deal with it. I don't care what happens. I think it would just be really funny. Like, it'd be pretty momentous. Like the Emperor either fully dies. So I'm thinking two ways, right? Either he fully dies and then it turns out he was just a guy the whole time. Right. Then it's really bad. Or let's say it's extra bad, right? There's no backup. He just dies. The baddies swarm through the web gory gate on his chair and just destroys Terra. What does the Imperium do? Splinters could be cool. Or maybe he ascends to full godhood and abandons humanity because now he's a god and he doesn't exist anymore and he's busy because he didn't give a shit because he's a god. Now what does humanity do? Maybe half of them are well, I guess chaos is legit. And the other half are well, I guess I worship the Emperor even more. And then maybe a bunch of them are what the fuck was that about? I don't know. Maybe it could be cool.
Yeah.
Cataclysmic stuff.
I know what you actually mean by the he becomes a god and doesn't exist anymore, but I like the idea that it's kind of a disproving himself Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy thing.
Yeah, he wakes up for half a second, opens his eyes and goes, oh shit, and then he's just gone.
For ascends to godhood and is well, I don't believe in God, and then vanishes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or becomes the fifth chaos god or whatever. Yeah. I think that'd be pretty, I'd give that challenge to Games Workshop in 14 seconds.
Yeah, we've laid down some challenges here. Replace the Emperor with a John.
Yeah.
More language and
replace the Emperor with John. He only speaks in Tau runes. John, replace him with John Grammaticus?
Yeah, he speaks a lot of languages.
Well, you have to, because grammar, right? Yeah. Nice. Well, I think Games Workshop may come to sort of regret giving us that time.
It was in the contract.
They shouldn't have written it in. That was foolish of them. They should have thought a bit harder about that. Nailed it.
What's the subject you have brought to discuss today?
Yeah, so I want to talk about basing, which is pretty basic, but I'm a bit crap at it. I want some tips because, I don't know, it first came up with the Eldar stuff, right? So I'm holding up. I'm going to do it now. Great radio. I'm going to hold up a little Farseer, right? So the Farseer, a lot of the old guys, they come on molded bases, right? But they're various shades of 25 mil. And the Farseer does not deserve to be on a 25mm base. So what I do is I cut the rim off the 25mm and stick it on a 32. I don't care if it's storm illegal. So I cut off on the 32, but now I've got to fill in the rest of it. And now I want my core old school warlocks, who are just flat slot of base guys. I want them to have some cool Eldar base. How do I do this? Also, what is your general basing tips? Because there's only so far. Just covering everything in Astrogranite and painting it light grey can take me. What should I be doing to make my bases better? What do you? What are your top tips? Pet peeves on bases? Help me.
I think
please.
The ones I'm personally most proud of that I've done, I use a couple of different textures. I've got, I use these for my Seraphon and my Khorne stuff, with a mix of patches of basing sand, which has got some slightly coarser sand mixed in to make nice little rocks. Between that, using the crackle paint that cracks up and looks like old dry earth. I think that plus liberal dry brushing and some skulls and tufts, the Warhammer pub, between all of that, I think it comes out quite well.
Have you ever had any of that? The crackly earth stuff looks quite brittle. Have you ever had any? Does it snap off, or is it quite robust?
I've never had any flake off, except for the bit that I like experimented with by like going out with a fingernail to try and crackle it off.
Hmm.
I think it's not. I couldn't say how actually robust it is, but so long as you're not carrying all your models in a big carrier bag and shaking them about, I think you're probably not going to be exerting force on it in that way, if you get me.
That might be a problem for me. But okay, that's actually really good to know. I'm staring at a base right now, and I'm like, I made a load of milliput for it, right, to like heighten it a little bit, and I ran out of about the last tenth of the base, and I'm like, actually, if I put some crackle earth on that, that would look sick.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that the first thing I'd say about basing is that if you're not using a basing, if you don't want to put a lot of effort in, then if you're not using one of the crackle or basing pastes, you probably should be. I know that they seem like a bit of a waste of money sometimes, but they're honestly so easy to use, and they do look pretty good when they're dry.
Hmm.
And not only Games Workshop make them, there are pretty good equivalents by Vallejo. And I think a couple of other companies as well.
So do you mean stuff beyond like the debris versions? Because I've had Sterling Mud and Astrogranite debris and stuff like that. You mean the other ones?
I mean, yeah, that's the sort of like baseline, I think. But if you're already doing that, then there's lots of stuff you can do, of course. I mean, I was going to suggest you build up around those old metal bases with Milliput or something, because you definitely want some volume.
Mm.
But you can also do that with just super glue and baking soda.
Mm.
It's another very quick filler.
Does it not dry really quickly?
It does dry incredibly quickly, and that's the point. It basically becomes like a brittle, well, not very brittle, but very hard crystal.
Mm.
And it's like really good for filling something. And when it once it's dry, it goes ultra hard. You can file it or sand it.
Nice. I like that about Milliput. I like that about Milliput is that I don't use it super often. I had to specifically buy a new box for the base that I'm doing. But I like that it is a bit like clay when you're working with it. If you wet it, it'll just smudge and go really smooth really easily.
Yeah. Hmm. The problem I've always had with Milliput is getting it to have a fairly natural surface on it. I feel like I have difficulty like getting it sufficiently smooth with my hands or gloves. And it always ends up looking like something that's been smeared with a fingertip or with the side of a finger.
I'm planning with the one I've done, I'm planning to go over it with another texture paint.
Yeah,
because if I look at it as it is now, it just looks like a load of fingerprints on a big base. I'm gonna need to mask that. I was planning to go over that mostly with Astrogranite, and I've stuck some like random some other bits in for effects.
Well, for Eldar basing in particular, to try if you want to do some sort of like Lost World or Wraithbone bits or something.
Mm.
Of course, you can use bits of models if you've got old or extra bits of, I don't know if Wraith Guard have extra bits or arms or anything you can use just to like get some of those nice alien smooth shapes and you can sort of semi-bury them in things.
That's fair. I think I was more, a lot of the newer Eldar models, especially the hero models, but even the Howling Banshees to an extent, they're like leaping off bits of like old Eldar building and stuff, and maybe that's just too difficult to do, really. But
well, there are tools to help you do this stuff. You can get texture rollers, which is basically just a rolling pin with a texture in it, and there are plenty of alien ruins and things, and that you actually roll on. You take some modeling clay, Milliput is preferable actually, and then you roll out a big sheet of this stuff. And then you can either try cut a circle out of it or break, you know, sort of like broken tile piece.
Hmm. That's an interesting idea. Yeah, think about that. Because I was thinking about it. I was trying to find if you could like 3D print some tiny breakable ruins. But actually, you're right. A roller might just be the better answer. We're going to have to look up like Space Elf generic ruin roller or something like that, aren't we?
It could be either way. Or, you know, there might be that exact name that you said, Space Elf generic ruler.
Well, the Eldar, I don't know if that is copyrighted, right? Is that why they changed it to Eldari?
Oh, true.
Eldar's like it goes out to Tolkien and stuff, right? So,
yeah, true.
Might get away with it. That's a really good idea. I thought about that.
The downside there is if you've already done a bunch of your Eldar without those bases, you might not like that they don't match anymore.
I think what I'd actually realistically do, because they're all on ruins, right? Like, I don't want them walking over a pristine Eldar floor. But if I could crack away small little bits and like hide them amongst some dirt, whatever, like under the ground, then it's it's that ruins vibe, right?
So you might be able to, might you know what's fairly Eldar-V-E. You might be able to get away with the plastic Age of Sigmar bases.
Yeah,
I think they've got that. That's a good idea. Kind of, particularly if you want something that will work en masse and then you can add little bits to. I think perhaps that might have the curvy ruins and runes look.
Hmm. That's another interesting idea.
Yeah, that's not a bad call.
Like a sort of like the Sigmarite vague. What was it called? And I think I do know the one you mean. I'm gonna look that up. That was a good example. Thanks. Thanks, gang. That is genuinely super helpful for me, literally in this moment. So thank you. Cool. All right. Well, we did mention it at the top of this. We
mentioned Adepticon, but we've got on for a while.
We did. I think we can take away your top Adepticon takeaway.
6 seconds for your hottest Adepticon take.
Adapted, dude. Talk about Tom. What's your favorite? What was your enjoyed Adepticon release? What's the bit that grabbed your attention?
I'm really glad I no longer need to pretend that the new Horus Heresy isn't a thing I've seen leaked. I know we try and avoid leaks and spoilers on here, and every time I've been on this podcast, I've been like, well, there is a certain exciting, interesting thing at some point in the future that I shan't be going into details about. So I'm very excited for that. I'm looking forward to more news on that and picking up they've announced that there's going to be a big box, right?
I think I don't know. I think it's probably fair to assume that there would be a big box with it.
Yes, I'm going to pick up some kind of big box if they do it, and very much looking forward to that. Might try and hold off on other Warhammer purchases until then.
Are you excited for new rules, new models, or both?
A bit of both. I'm hoping for a bit of an expansion to the plastic range for the Heresy stuff, like breachers and assault marines and so on. I think a lot of the generic things I like a lot and I'm looking forward to.
It's going to be quite interesting to see if Heresy coming out more in plastic, because that is something, as I said, that they will be doing, is going to increase the sort of player base. Because I know that currently it's mostly limited to the UK, some enclaves in the US, and oddly enough I hear it's quite popular in Australia and New Zealand, but it's definitely not nearly as big as Age of Sigmar or 40k are.
But I guess that yeah, like you say, maybe that's because of a lot of the resin limitation off of its Forge World or whatever. Their new plastic Praetor is extremely cool.
Yeah, they look so good.
Extremely good.
The trailer showed a guy who was clearly that guy in a close-up fight with an Imperial Fist with a very distinctive mustache. So I suspect,
oh, really?
Yeah, I suspect that Mustachio is going to be the possibly another character in the box, which would be
Brother
very,
Mustachio himself.
Very cool. Yes.
Mm. Yeah, that'd be really cool. I might get that Praetor as like a Chaos Lord for my Chaos Marines because he's fucking radical.
Yes. I love the nice cracks weld on the axe.
Yeah. Nice. Alistair?
Heck yeah. Oh, well, there were just, yeah, that, the whole preview had loads and loads of cool things, but I think that the thing that stood out to me the most is the Kronspine incarnate of Gurr, the skelly, magic-y, dragon-y boy.
Nice.
Which is apparently not an endless spell, but like an endless spell, and also it eats endless spells.
But it's not an endless spell.
It's not an endless spell.
It's just like one.
Sure, maybe. We don't really know yet.
No.
But it does look really cool. I mean, I like dragons, and I like goat men, and this is kind of like a goatish dragon skeleton. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll make a good addition to my Beasts of Chaos. They can have a really angry, bony dragon friend.
Nice. That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, they haven't given any rules for it, have they? But the sort of teasers that they've done for it, that it's sort of controlled by a hero, or, you know, it can go off the hooks if the hero, off the rails if the hero dies. It's pretty good. I'm excited to see where that goes. The terrain as well, oh my lord. I haven't even got the last lot of Gurr terrain, the sort of outhouses and stuff. I've still got my giant mound I need to get through before I can realistically buy that. But yeah, man, it's really cool.
I like to think that what they did was they looked at the Lumineth floating shrine with the water trickling down from it, held up by the waterfalls, and they thought, this is the sickest shit we've done in years. Let's make sure everybody gets the option to have something like this.
Do it again.
Super cool. I think it's also exciting that because this is obviously the Gurr one, we're going to get ones for other like realms.
Potentially, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So there could be
just super cool, just neutral, monsterish things that you can add to your lists.
Nice.
Had a whole lot of flavor and cool stuff.
Well, they sort of like, there was that, do you remember in the original AOS, there was a battle plan where you had to bring a monster?
Yeah.
I should do that. Like, go hard in on that. A bunch of generic monsters. Gurr aligned things that anybody can bring. That's really cool. I really like that.
Yeah.
Really good.
Real cool.
Nice. What I done liked about the Adepticon was the big stumpy Robert, man. That Knight Abominant is real. That's real shit. I'm not gonna lie. That's real. Like I haven't finished my own knight. I need to finish the current one, the Rampage or whatever he's called. I need to finish him, and then I really want this other one because it's just they're so good. He's got a tail. Like who knew that a giant robot needed a tail? Turns out they do. And it's like a Bastillodon tail, actually. It's got this sort of like swingy club at the end.
Yes.
And a psychic knight with flails, like a tail club and a freaking Volkite. Are you joking? It's laser targeted up my alley.
Covered in birds
and presumably bird poop. But actually the bird aesthetic is the one bit I'm not like super crazy about, but
make it work. I assume there's some specific kind of vulture rather than just being.
Oh yeah, there'll be a
vulture. Vulture's desperately confused by the fact that what they're eating is metal.
Yes, a Volcadron doodad. What's it? I don't know. Right? It looks like an extension to the kickers. The legs look very similar.
I think that they might have mentioned that it's just a sprue add-on to the.
Yeah.
The standard Chaos Knight. I'm not sure what the name of that
I
one is.
So. I can see a few different differences because it looks to be like the birds. Maybe they just stand because in the current one they're like slots for the spikes and stuff. So it looks like you know you could easily change that for these birds and stuff. And like I think the chains over the top of the canopy aren't in the current one, but they could easily be a piece that just gets glued on. So. Yeah, that's really cool. And the what do they call it? The Helverin, not the little runny guys. What's he called? Carnivore. Carnivore. The War Dog Carnivore. It looks good. He's got like a sort of...
Does that imply the other War Dog is omnivorous?
The War Dog vegetarian. or the herbivore. That's it, herbivore, isn't it? He just loves eating plants. Yeah, that's also really cool. I think I would put they've got it with a kind of like some kind of weird animal skull as its helmet. I think I preferred a slightly more scary robot helmet, but frankly, I'll take all of it. It looks super cool, and I'm very keen to never buy them. Realistically, I'm never going to buy them, but I really want them, and they're really cool. I also really like the announcement of new Chaos Space Marine stuff. It looks like cultists and maybe possessed or something.
Yes, yeah, possessed of a kit that they're very cool. I want to see what they would do with a new one.
They're very of their time, which is about 18 billion years ago.
Yeah,
so they need it. Yeah. They need a new look at. So we'll do. I mean, I also really like them. I think I'm done with Chaos Marines now. I'm just going to finish what I've got and then call it a day with my Chaos guys. But you know, it's nice to have new stuff out there. So yeah,
I have to say that new knight actually was also laser targeted at me. It's almost distressing that I haven't got any knights, but except in Titanica scale, and in that scale there aren't like any Chaos Knights specific models yet. But I had sort of imagined that my knight house is sort of just beginning their slide into chaos at the Titanicus era, and how I'd envisioned how they ended up is almost exactly how this robot is. And I'm like, shit.
I need to get it. Yeah, it's really cool. I really like knights. I mean, I'm not very good at painting big models, but, you know, I'm going to get this one finished and we'll see how I feel about it at the end. So, yeah. Great. Well, there's your hot Adepticon takes. Maybe we'll do a special on it, a slightly deeper dive, but that's the briefest of Adepticon takes for you. But apart from that, I think we're about done. Unless anybody has anything else to bring to this metaphorical internet table. No. There we are. You have it all. That's all of the takes for this month. Let's bring this war dog to the internet kennel. That was a strained metaphor.
Bring this war dog to heel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Oh, my God. That's so much better. Let's bring this. Yeah. Well, all right. What you said. Where can you find Tiny Plastic People? It's tinyplasticpeople.com. It's Tiny Plastic Pals on your various social media engagement pages. Give us a follow. There's a Discord if you want to join that. That's Role Models. No, it's not. It is called Role Models, but it's discord.gg/Role Models. Tom, where can people find you if they wish to seek you out and gain your wisdom?
Should they wish to gain my wisdom, they can find me at LeSwordfish, LeSwordfish, either on Twitter, where it's all one word, or on Instagram, where it's LE_Swordfish, because somebody had took the real one first.
That's rude of them. Alistair, how are you?
I'm on both Twitter and Instagram at Painting Armory.
Nice.
And I'm posting much more things to Instagram now. Take my own advice from a few pods ago.
Oh, cool. Nice to share. Get some engagement. See, make the number go up. Make people make the nice words. Cool. And you can find me. I am at TN Dines in most places. If you search for me, email thetinyplasticpeople@gmail.com. Questions, comments, tell us why our Adepticon takes are wrong. They're not, but you can try. Other than that, I think we're done. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you all next time. Bye.
Bye. Bye.